service preached from the pulpit of Holy Cross Anglican Church in Alpine, Texas. Seeking to be faithful witnesses to the one faith once for all delivered to the saints, these homilies are designed to bring forward the faith of the undivided church into our own day, to shape our thinking, to form the pattern of our lives so that we may learn to take up our cross and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen. Please be seated. Throughout this entire season of Lent, our journey has been leading us to these days, and we have followed our Lord to this city. And it was just yesterday on Palm Sunday that we first entered into Jerusalem with all the faithful, and we lifted up our voices with all of the multitude as we welcomed our long-awaited King with the shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This whole city is shaking with excitement as we have gathered here to celebrate this last Passover, this Passover that will be transformed into the sacrament of Holy Communion. We who have gathered here for these days, we watch and we wait with eagerness to see what it is that this Son of David is going to do. We saw yesterday his first move. He goes to the temple and he drives out those who had made the temple, which had been built to be a dwelling place of God on earth. They had turned it into a den of thieves. And after Jesus cleanses the temple, he remains there teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. By both his acts and his words, he shows forth the way of the kingdom of God. But in his showing forth the positive message of the kingdom, he cannot help but demonstrate the failure of the old priesthood, of the failure of the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders. And his criticism does not go unnoticed. As we opened our gospel lesson tonight, we heard from the 14th chapter of the gospel according to St. Mark how the chief priests and the scribes were plotting together to rid themselves of this troublesome Jesus. And we heard them crafting a plan as they looked for an opportunity to trap him. And that opportunity presents itself in our gospel tonight, as Judas Iscariot is scandalized a second time by the lavish anointing of Mary upon Jesus. He goes and colludes with the chief priests, and they hatch a plan by which they think they can rid themselves of Jesus quietly, out of the sight of all of the people who have just celebrated him as their king. But while Judas and the priests are constructing their trap, Holy Week continues, and we follow our Lord as he continues to lead us further. Tonight he sends two of his disciples to secure the upper room for the celebration of the Passover, and we gather with the 12 around the table for the Passover, and there our Lord makes a sobering announcement that one of them that is sitting at table with us is going to betray our Lord. And the mood in the room takes a somber turn as each of us ask our Lord in turn, is it I? Is it I? And all Jesus says is that one that eats with him at this table, it's one of them that will turn traitor. But it's in the midst of this dark announcement that suddenly the Passover is forever changed. Jesus takes this unleavened bread and he breaks it, and he gives it to the disciples, saying to them, take, eat. This is my body. And he does the same with the wine. He takes this third cup of the Passover meal, the cup of blessing, and he blesses it, and he gives it to the disciples, saying, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. But after they drink this third cup, the cup of blessing, Jesus suddenly breaks off the Passover unfinished. They're anticipating the fourth and final cup. They're anticipating the cup of consummation, which would normally bring the Passover to its climax. But rather than moving on in the celebration, our Lord makes this announcement. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. These words, I will drink no more fruit of the vine, they're profound in their meaning. And Lord willing, we'll unpack these words over the next few nights. But for now, we need to only notice this, that the Passover celebration is left unfinished. It's left open, uncomfortably so. He will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom comes. So if he will not drink now, there's no more that can be done. They sing a hymn and they go out to the Mount of Olives. But while they are on their way to the Mount of Olives, Jesus makes one more shocking announcement. Not only is one of them going to turn traitor, all 12 are going to be offended at Jesus this very night, and all 12 are going to betray him. For tonight will be the fulfillment of the words of the prophet Zechariah, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Now, it's at this point in our lesson tonight that Peter becomes the central lesson that we need to learn tonight. He speaks up, as he so often does, and he denies that he would ever be offended at Jesus. "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." And I don't think there's any false bravado here. I don't think there's any boasting. Peter really does not think himself capable of betraying his Lord. He simply cannot imagine him being offended at this one who he and all the other 12 have left all to follow. Yet Jesus reaffirms what he said. He says, "Verily I say unto you that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter doesn't think it's possible, and he vehemently denies that he will ever betray Jesus. And so do the rest. They finally arrive at the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus, filled with sorrow, asks Peter, James, and John to go further into the garden with him. And he asks them to watch and wait with him as he goes before the face of his Father in prayer. "Abba, Father," he prays, "all things are possible unto thee. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." And after praying, he returns to the disciples. He seeks the comfort of their company. But what does he find? These three who he has asked to watch and wait, they're sleeping. They have all said that they would be true, that they would be faithful to the end, especially Peter. But in the hour of our Lord's greatest need, they sleep. They're not even aware of the great danger to their own souls that this night holds for them. And the very words that Jesus says to Peter are the words that we need to hear tonight. "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour?" And here's the words for tonight. "Watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. For the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." But Peter thinks himself strong, and in some ways he is. But he doesn't recognize the weakness of the flesh. The spirit is ready, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our Lord again asks him to pray with him, and he and the others sleep on. See in this words of the prophet Isaiah that are our lesson tonight for the epistle. This one who will bring the victory that all have been waiting for, this one who the watchmen on the wall see approaching unto him, they see him covered in blood. He's going to earn the victory alone, and he is covered in his own blood. Alone Jesus goes before his Father, and alone he asks that this cup be taken away from him. 3 times he asks, yet 3 times he offers his will to the Father. It's during this third appeal that Judas the betrayer comes to the garden with armed men to arrest Jesus. And with a kiss, Jesus is betrayed by his friend. They strike the shepherd, and the sheep are scattered. Yet, as we saw, Peter follows this arresting crowd from a distance. And as Jesus goes to a mockery of a trial before the chief priests, Peter watches. And he watches and he hears the lies and the half-truths and the innuendo. Nevertheless, Jesus is condemned as one worthy of death. They mock him, they spit on him, they cover his face and they smite him. And all of those who mock him say, "Prophesy, tell us who it is that hits you." Peter sees all this as he warms himself by the fire. And while he's warming himself, a young maid comes to him, and she suggests that he is a disciple of Jesus. And he denies strongly, saying that this girl doesn't know anything that she's talking about. And he leaves the fire and he goes out onto the porch. And as he enters that porch, the cock crows the first time. There on the porch, another maid recognizes Peter, and she too accuses him of being a disciple of Jesus, and again he denies it. And a little while later, the third accusation comes, "Surely thou art one of his disciples," and he answers with a curse, and he swears that he's no follower of Jesus. And at that moment, the rooster crows the second time, and this one who had sworn that he would never betray Jesus, that though all others should betray him, he would never. He betrays Jesus with a curse, and he begins to weep. What happened? The spirit was indeed willing, but the flesh was weak. So instead of watching and praying with Jesus in the garden, he allows his desire for bodily ease to rule over him. Instead of holding fast his profession, he lets the fear of the little maid frighten him into denial. When he's in a hostile environment, an environment that doesn't welcome the Christian faith, that doesn't welcome Jesus, what does he do? He curses him rather than owning him as Lord. This is no different than our journey. This is the same path that we are called to in this day. We're called to follow the way of the cross. We are called to, along with our Lord, despise the shame. Will we hold fast to our profession? Or will we be intimidated into cowardice? Will we go the way of the cross? Or will we look for another way? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Will we order our lives according to the fallen desires of the flesh? Will we order our lives after the path of least resistance? Will we order our lives over those things that we feel in the moment? Will we be ruled by our emotions and our appetites? Or will we walk by the Spirit? It's only by walking in the Spirit that we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh is weak. The Spirit is willing. God comes to you tonight, though, offering you strength for the rest of this journey. Do not be proud of how strong you think you are. Come and take of the broken body of our Lord and take of his blood, the blood of the new covenant, and find in it strength for our journey. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, one God. Amen. Thank you for listening to Homilies from Holy Cross. If you would like to know more about Holy Cross, you can check us out online at holycrossalpine.org, and you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Homilies from Holy Cross is a production of Holy Cross Anglican Church in Alpine, Texas.